Blog Talk Radio.
Logical Soul Horse Talk today because I still got laryngitis. Last week I had a special show that I put back on the air, a replay, a show interview with Matt Basak, internet marketer. This week I didn't have, I was prepared to have someone join me, and I didn't think I would have to do the show again because I either thought my voice was going to be cleared up or I'd have somebody cover for me, neither of which turned out to be true. So, I apologize for the sound of a little Miss Piggy in my voice. However, this is what's going on, and I'll do the best I can. So please bear with me. Today's show is very special, actually. The information I'm going to give out is extraordinary. I hope you can look past the hoarseness and get some valuable information from this. I'll do my best to present it in as clear and as a concise manner as I possibly can. And meanwhile, welcome to Logical Soul Talk. As I said, this is a weekly talk radio program, and this is a show where I either get to interview some of the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world, or talk about subjects near and dear to my heart. And today, it's the latter. I don't have anybody to talk for me, unfortunately, and this is probably one of those weeks where nothing went right. I've had this cold for about 2 weeks, still can't talk after about a week and a half, and it's just one of those things where something is going on, and again, I apologize, but we're going to get through this if you stick with me. Now, Logical Soul is a technique. If you listen to the show at all in the past, you understand it's a way, something I discovered many years ago, that people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. And many years ago, by accident, quite by accident, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on these techniques, or my techniques called the Logical Soul Technique and the Money Matrix Method at logicalsoul.com and moneymatrixmethod.com. Today I want to also talk about a new site that I'm getting started. Actually, this is going to be my main site, and I'm going to mention this down the road. I don't want to confuse you right now, but just go to those sites if you want more information, and you'll be able to find what you need there. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the number two reason why small businesses or home businesses usually end up failing. I've had a lot of experience understanding what these are simply because I've had a lot of home businesses and small businesses myself, many of which failed. So I can tell you from firsthand experiences, the information I'm giving you here tonight is time-tested, battle-tested, and sure to at least give you some food for thought. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and give it to you. Last time I talked, which was 2 weeks ago, I gave you the number one reason, which had to do with getting your mindset, or the mindset would have to do with your inner and your outer being congruent. In other words, if you want money, you've got to be congruent inside that I choose wealth, or I'm worth a certain amount of money, or I can accept a certain amount of money, or I can take action on a certain amount of money, and so forth. This, you can find more information at moneymatrixmethod.com. And this is the inner-outer congruence. That's the number one reason that will stop you. The number two reason has to do with the outside world a little more. In other words, once your inside-outside is congruent, you need to make sure that what your message is all about is about that congruence. In other words, I choose to make money, or I'm worth a certain amount of money. But there's a little more to it than that. What is your passion? What really drives you? What do you love to do? What do you feel most motivated to do or to bring out or to bring to others? How do you best want to serve your fellow man. And this is the subject of tonight's talk, how you actually bring your message across to those who want, really want, and I'm talking about are really wanting what you've got to offer. And the big thing I've noticed in home businesses and small businesses is that a lot of time we just sort of throw up a shingle. We say, well, I'm doing internet marketing, or I'm doing, I'm doing auto repair, or I'm doing dry cleaners, or I've got a little business, I've got a consulting business, I'm a life coach. Whatever it is that you do, a lot of us give more thought to the vacation we take next summer than our career path. This is unfortunate in some ways because that's the reason why so many of us end up on the rocks. It's because we don't have that plan in place. You'll have to excuse me a minute here. Okay, I'm going to try my best to get through this. And hang in there. The meat of the matter is coming real soon. And then we'll have a musical interlude where maybe I can find something to play. But anyway, the number two reason has to do with, have you got your marketing and your message in place? Without your marketing and your message, nobody knows what you do. Nobody knows what sets you aside from others out there who also have similar things to sell. Let's say you have a dry cleaning business. Or better yet, let's say you have a restaurant. This restaurant is, you serve fast food. Say you make Mexican restaurant. You've got Mexican food and you're serving that. And you're in sort of a resort town or an area where there's a lot of tourists coming through, things like that. How do you drum up business? What do you have to offer that no one else has? Well, first of all, your location. In a restaurant business, location is everything because when people are hungry and they see you, chances are they're going to stop by to get something to eat. So location is probably the number one attraction factor for restaurants. It's not the only attraction factor, but it's probably near the top. Now, if you have some other kind of business, let's say you're a consultant. Let's say you have a computer consulting business where you consult IT managers. Well, let's get into something I'm a little more familiar with. I don't really understand that business that well. Let's say you're a chiropractor. I'm a chiropractor, I was, so let's use that as an example because I know a lot about how you can feel in the chiropractic business. Well, let's say you're a chiropractor and you want to expand your chiropractic practice. How do you do it? What sets you apart from all the other chiropractors out there? A lot of chiropractors I know, I did this. A lot of my classmates did this. Got out of college, got a business license, or went and got their state license to practice in that state, found an office, signed a lease, hung up a sign, waited for people to come in the door. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And not much is happening. The same is true if you have a home business. If you have a home business and you just stick up a shingle, or you stick up a website, which is sort of the same as putting up a shingle, it doesn't guarantee that people are actually going to find you or walk in your door once they even find you. So the two things are involved here. The first is, do people know what sets you apart, why they would even want to come see you, first of all? Because if they have a strong enough why, they'll travel across the country to come see you. That's not a problem. There's got to be a strong enough why. In other words, it's got to flow downhill. The benefits that you offer have to flow so effortlessly to the customer that they get it without having to ask too many questions. Excuse me. Let me take a drink here. Excuse me, it's 1 second. I'm going to have to muddle through this, taking a sip every once in a while. Please forgive me. Getting back to the point at hand, if you have a chiropractic business, you want to attract customers, you're going to have to do something that no other chiropractors out there are doing. Now, Dr. Sid Williams, who was the founder of Life Chiropractic College, where I went to school, he set up practice in a little town called Austell, Georgia, which is not too far from Atlanta. And what set him apart from all the other chiropractors is that he gave away free chicken dinners. Now, this was back in the 50s, early 60s, and his practice was basically thriving on the fact that he just asked people to come in. He wanted to love them and serve them. So he gave away free chicken dinners for anyone coming to get an adjustment as his, at his clinic. That was quite a unique marketing strategy because he had people lined up around the corner. People coming from all parts of the state, actually, or the county, to get adjusted by Sid Williams. So his practice grew and grew. In fact, he became a famous lecturer, speaker. He founded the college, Life Chiropractic College, which is now Life University. All on that basic premise that people, if you serve people, if you have a unique way of putting yourself out there, people will want to come to you. That was the why. Now, chiropractors, you know, and I hate to say this, most people's perception of a chiropractor is fairly mundane. In other words, they adjust your back or they crack your back. It falls in the category of commodity. Most of us, like it or not, people try to fit us in a category called commodity. If you have an auto repair shop, you're a commodity, unless you set yourself apart. If you have a restaurant, you're a commodity. If you have a, especially if you're not a franchise restaurant, franchises have already done the legwork for you to set you apart, but let's just say you have a corner restaurant, a diner. Well, then you become a commodity, unless you establish clientele, and that takes a while to do. So what is it that sets you apart from other people out there, and how can you overcome that disadvantage? If you're working from home, what do you do that sets you apart from everybody else who works at home? I have a guest on, actually I have somebody call in, and I'll be honest, it's my wife. She's got a home business, and I'm going to let her speak for herself in just a minute. Hopefully she can speak for a little longer because I'm running out of steam here. So, Bridget, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Thank you for calling in. I'm about to run out of steam here, so can you help me a minute?
Sure.
I was talking about what sets people apart in a home business and why would somebody want to do business with you. Now, you've got, and I help you on this, we've got a unique home business in that we sell a particular computer product, and we won't get into what that is, or who our suppliers or customers are, that type of thing. But what is it that that sets your business apart from, say, anybody out there selling computer parts?
Well, before we go there, what I notice, and what's true for me, and I think it's true for everyone, there are people you like to do business with,
mm-hmm.
and people you don't, and people you don't.
Right.
It's really the people of your own flock, so to speak.
Right.
Like, I try to do business with all kinds of people, but some people just rub you the wrong way. They're pushy, in my case, okay, they're pushy, and you just get who these people are, where does it come from? So if people come a lot from fear, then that determines their action. And it's very uncomfortable doing business with them. Or if they come from someone has to lose there so someone can win. And you kind of get that when you speak to them and how they act and how they give us warranty issues. And I think you covered that before, this win-win and win-lose. And,
well, let me just put that in the context of what we're talking about tonight, if I may. And thank you for giving my voice a rest for a few minutes. You brought up a very interesting point, Bridget, and that is that what sets you apart in one way is that you're a member of a certain tribe or a certain group of people or a certain group of, in your case, vendors and buyers and salespeople, that type of thing, because you sell business to business, right? So what happens is that by knowing or being a part of that tribe, and I call it a tribe because that's a term that's used in marketing to describe those people that you love to hang around with. Those are your tribe. That's your tribe. The people you love to hang around with, you do business with them, they do business with you. And really, that's one of the biggest reasons, and thank you for sharing that idea, what sets you apart from others, why they would do business for you is, first of all, because they know and trust you, right?
Yes.
And so once that is established, That's great, and that you can grow on that, and that's basically word of mouth, and your tribe grows, and your customer base grows. All those things start growing. So thank you for sharing that. That's a very excellent way of doing it. But let me just throw out there, and I want your feedback on this in a minute, Bridget, is what happens if somebody's just opening up a small business at home and they don't have a tribe necessarily established, or maybe they're a work-at-home mother.
One thing before, I mean, of course, I'm not just going to go out and look for my tribe, but I really do want to make money, right? That's why we have a business, right? You do that, after a few months or years, you will find out who is who, and then you go into fine-tuning as to you can afford with whom you want a business, what works and what doesn't. But when people start doing business, how it is, I mean, basically, you want to make money. You have to kind of live and survive, right? So that's why we do that.
Right.
So what I did was you look at people, what's their need, what's the want.
Right.
Where can I serve? Where can I be helpful? And then people pay for that. And then, of course, people make more money dealing with me. But it also serves a need.
So. Right. What you do is you found a hot product. In other words, a product in high demand that you can get on margin. In other words, you can buy it and sell it on a profit. And then you basically stick to that product service or you know, similar products and services.
Right. Or you can add value. You know, there's a whole another branch out there. People buy something, they add something to it, and then they sell it.
Right.
I mean, you have experience where you buy a software product, and then it takes you forever to fix it so it would apply to your business. So if someone would know how to do that, they would add a value and then sell it.
Right. Adding value, like when people buy computer parts, put together a computer and sell a computer, it's an added value.
Right, or you...
Like that, yeah. I remember when my great-grandmother, her name was Molly Murray. That was her married name. Molly Wilson was her maiden name. She was a milliner. You know what a milliner was? You remember in the turn of the century, like around the 1900s, those women wore those big feathered hats, fancy hats.
Yes.
She used to make those. and for her, it was a home business. She made these hats, and she sold them, and people just loved to buy them. The women came by, and she had a lot of clientele, and she had a pretty good business going, from what I understand. I wasn't there, but from what I understand, it was a pretty good business. So that fits your definition of adding value. Obviously, that's not a huge thriving business these days unless you work in Hollywood. But as far as making things or turning things around, how else could you add value, Bridget? What other ways could people add value from products and services?
Consult people.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay, it's consulting. Taking their knowledge and passing it on to somebody else's situation.
Yes.
Any other ideas?
Link? No.
We're talking about the number two reason why you fail in your home business or small business. And if you want to call in, our phone number is, I invite you to call in because I'm running out of voice here. I'd love to hear yours. Area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. My name is Michael Craig. I'm on the line with Bridget. And we're talking about reasons why your small business is failing. And the number two is because you're not providing a unique enough product or service, or you're not providing products or services that people actually want to buy or that they need. And, you know, and so it's got to be a way that, you know, you heard the expression, you build a better mousetrap, people will beat a path to your door. That's half true. You know, with a better mousetrap, if you don't know how to market your mousetrap, then they're not going to beat the pass. But that's the other second half of this equation, is that once you have that product or service, that unique product or service, how do you position it? And that's how marketing comes into hand. That's where marketing becomes crucial. Because if you don't know how to market, now, in a tribe, like if you've got a business like Bridget does, where you're buying and selling particular products from business to business, then your tribe are those people who you know who buy and sell your product, you know, over and over. So marketing is fairly simple. You get on the phone, you call these people, and they say, yes, I'll do business, or no, I won't. Is that correct, Bridget, or is there more involved in that?
That's correct.
Okay,
and,
so, but, yeah, go ahead.
And besides, the value of the product is also to listen to people and really listen what they need. That was the most, where we made the most money, is just listen what people need and
mm-hmm.
be open to that.
Yeah.
I mean, just
right.
ask what people need and how you can help them.
Right.
If you already have
just,
a branch.
And it's not just asking what they need, it's finding out and determining what they need based on what they tell you, what they really need
yeah.
rather than what they're saying they need. Someone may need, for example, you may need to sell a computer part. Let's say you're selling a computer component or something, and they need, say, 20 of them or something. That's what they need, and they say they need that. But let's say you also added free shipping, or you did something special for them, or you facilitated the shipment somehow in a way that made them feel special.
Yeah, the system is very important. To have systems in place.
Right, systems and also service, just regular customer service.
Yeah.
And communication. And I know you
right.
do a lot of business where you don't always have the parts or the answers, or, you know, sometimes shipments get delayed or sometimes they get laid up. What works in that situation is, are you providing top-notch service and communication with your customer?
Right.
In other words, are you on the phone with them immediately, letting them know this shipment is delayed, but I expect it to be in such and such? Is there something else I can do for you to help facilitate this, or you need to get it somewhere else? You know, that type of thing.
Right.
So clear service is what sets you apart. So we could talk about all these different avenues of what sets people apart and that type of thing all night, but really I wanted to cover the number two reason, and that is that that once you get congruent inside about who you are and about what you have to offer, making your message clear, I guess that's really the bottom line in the number two reason, is making your message clear such that you understand, not only understand what your customer wants and needs, but you know how to bring it to them, both in message and in fact. In other words, you know how to deliver the message, you need this because such and such and such. It hits a nerve with them. In other words, they understand immediately why they need that thing. And you're able to deliver that product or service in a timely and efficient manner, in a friendly manner. Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, but if you go in a totally different field, and like someone is an interior designer, then
yeah.
it's not as concrete. You take someone's ideas, and you really have to listen to what comes with the words and the pauses, because people often don't know how to say what they want. Like, let's say you listen to a lady say she wants a living room decorated
mm-hmm.
With furniture, and to listen to all the clues of colors and forms, and it's not just in the logical world. You start, you know, you go in a is it right brain or left brain where you go? By the other side of the logic, right, and help
yeah.
them to create. So,
right. No, part of your product service is help your customer generate ideas about the possible. In other words, give them a sense of possibilities, what they could do with this product or service. So, thank you, Bridget. That's really been helpful. Let me get back here to the studio so I can see what's
yeah,
okay. Got it. Okay, so we've only got a few more. We've got a few more minutes here. If you want to call in, 347-843-4544. We'd love to take your call, and I'll just let you talk. This is Michael Craig and Bridget Craig, and we're talking about the number two reason why small businesses, or home businesses in particular, tend to fail very quickly. And again, to recap, your message needs to be congruent with how you're feeling. In other words, the number one reason is getting congruent inside and outside with your message and who you are and what you have to offer. The number two reason is, do you have a strong enough message that can carry through to your customer so that they understand why they need to buy from you and not someone else? And are you able to deliver this product or service in a timely and friendly manner, an efficient manner? So that's the discussion this evening. If you have a small business or home business, we'd love to hear from you. 347-843-4544. And other than that, what we'll do is let me just mention, first of all, Bridget, and then I want to come back to that subject we talked about a minute ago. Excuse me. And that is, before I forget, next week's show, when hopefully I'll have a voice again, or if I don't, I'll just get my guest to talk. And my guest name next week, we've had him on the show before, and his name is Greg Hartman. Bridget, you know him, and he's going to be back on the show. He's the author of Due Diligence. This is Cutting Through the Crap in Network Marketing. He wrote a book by that title. He's also starting a new venture, what he calls cultural architecture, and I'm not really sure what that is, but knowing Greg, it's going to be a whole new way of doing business. I think it's a leadership training and consulting, something of that nature. So tune in next week. It's Tuesday at 6 to 6:30, Logical Soul Talk, where I'll have Greg Hartman talking about cultural architecture. And it should be exciting talk about leadership training, his new leadership training course and venture that he's got coming up. And you won't want to miss that, because Greg is a dynamic speaker and a teacher and a leader, and he's got a lot to say. So next Tuesday, that will be, what is that? That's till November, isn't it?
That's till November.
So we're in November, that's November 29th. By the way, this is a show right before Thanksgiving, so if you're listening to this on a podcast, happy, and it's not Thanksgiving yet, happy Thanksgiving. If Thanksgiving is already passed, then Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, and whatever else happened to be around the corner. So, Bridget, I'm going to let you talk for a while. I'll take a drink here. Anything else you want to add to what we discussed a few minutes ago?
Yeah, you mentioned to us Greg Hartman, and he was a public speaker, and I'm sure what he's talking about is he found a niche. He found something he can even to share with people, and that's helpful for people. Basically, I think when you learn something out there, you can use it to make money and teach other people about it.
Yeah,
and
I'm interested in that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sure we all pay for our experiences, you know? And I think it's totally legit to sell that. But we all paid what we learned to do. So
well,
I look forward to hear him.
We've only got half a minute left here, so I want to thank you for coming on the air and giving me a little break here. And, joining me. So I'm going to put you on hold and just mention one other thing before we sign off the air here. I've been doing this show for a while, a couple years now, and I have a growing audience.